It's The Playbook with Satyar Shah and John Jang on Sportsnet 650.
Let's bring in our good friend who knows the Patriots inside out, inside the pylon, Bleacher Report, and of course, Locked On Patriots podcast, the one and only Mark Schofield. Mark, what's going on today, my man?
Well, you know, right now I'm kind of researching open dislocations of fingers, trying to see how that will impact a throw in motion. But other than that, things are fine, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. And I am so geeked up for Championship Sunday, and I cannot wait to watch Jaguars and Patriots. And you know the Patriots inside out. Number one, should there be any concern about Tom Brady's health, given how often the Patriots and Bill Belichick like messing around with his status as being limited, as being hurt, and always throwing these smoke screens around?
I mean, I really don't think there's anything to be concerned about. I mean, the main thing was they did x-rays on the hand yesterday. They were negative. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning. I flashed to a scene from that movie, For Love of the Game, with Kevin Costner as the Tigers pitcher. And he's warming up the bullpen, and he says, look, have I ever not shown up? In my career, have I ever not shown? And I think that's what we're going to see with Brady. I mean, he's going to be fine. He's going to be out there. He started practice today with a glove on. The media was then escorted away. They just saw warm-ups. But he's going to be fine. I wouldn't worry about Tom Brady's status for Sunday at all.
Now, I saw you break down how the Patriots may take on the Jaguars, and really good stuff. But how do you think the Patriots are going to approach this game against the Jags defense, which has been the best in the league all season?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because this has been, in some senses, a historically good pass defense in terms of some of the numbers. You look at DVOA, their pass defense is the best pass defense in DVOA and one of the best in the past 10 years. And for a stretch this year, they were better than the 2013 Seattle Seahawks, the Legion of Boom season. And so this is a great matchup from the perspective of this Patriots offense against what Jacksonville likes to do on defense. But one of the things they do like to do is they run a lot of cover three. They ran it more last year. They were around a 60% cover three team. They've dropped it to about 40. They're comfortable doing more man stuff when they sign A.J. Bouye. They have two great corners in Ramsey and Bouye. But it's still a cover three team, and there are ways that you can defeat that. And the Patriots ran an offense this year and in years past and in big games past, like against Seattle, against a defense that can do cover three stuff. And you can do things up the seams. That's where you get Gronkowski sort of up the hash marks on those vertical routes. You can run two of those, one on each side of the free safety, so to sort of bracket that free safety. So that I'd look for that. They can do stuff in the pass game down the field, down the middle of the field. You can run something called the Yankee concept, which is a deep post route and then a dig route over the middle. So you sort of high-low that safety in the middle of the field and make him make a decision and throw to the other guy. And you can attack the boundaries as well. So the Patriots will have a full complement of plays in their playbook for Sunday designed to beat that coverage. So they'll have answers. The question will be then, how quickly does Jacksonville adjust to that? How quickly do they start playing more man coverage? And if they do start playing more man coverage, that gets us to the ultimate question, who covers number 87?
Yeah, Rob Gronkowski, I mean, there's not a lot of players in the NFL, period, who can cover a guy like that. So are you concerned at all that the Patriots will try and avoid targeting Jalen Ramsey and Bouye? Or do you think they're just going to go head on, go best player against your best guys and see what happens?
I think the main approach is basically what New England does all year long, which is we're going to run our stuff and our plays, including what we do in the pre-snap phase in terms of motion and shifts, are going to be designed to get us the matchups we want. If they just line up and run plays, I'm sure they're not going to really target the guys on the outside, Brandon Cooks, Chris Hogan, because chances are they'll be matched up against Ramsey and Bouye. And those corners are very good. So this game might be won then, you know, on the inside with, say, a Danny Amendola and a Rob Gronkowski and either James White or Deion Lewis out of the backfield against guys like Barry Church and Telvin Smith and Aaron Colvin and Miles Jack, the linebacker. That's where this game might be won off, you know, off the top of my head. But they will do some scheme stuff. They'll move guys around. They'll try to get either Cooks or Hogan into a stack slot alignment where they might get a free release. They'll move them into the slot so they might get matched up with a nickel corner, say Colvin. They'll do some stuff to try to get that matchup they want. It's something they do all the time. They do a lot of movement in the pre-snap phase so they can get Brady to sort of identify both the coverage and the defense and that matchup they want to exploit. The question, again, it all comes down to how quickly Jacksonville will adjust to these. If they go to man, how much they do that. And we'll see how that unfolds over the course of the game. But I think the Patriots will come in with a game plan to attack wherever they want to and try to find the matchups they want to take advantage of.
Now, the Patriots through the regular season, with their defense, they had like a bend but don't break philosophy. They gave up a lot of yards, but in the red zone, they were pretty tight where, you know, things really do matter. However, the Jaguars put up 45 against the Steelers. Now, some of that was defensive turnovers, and they got that fumble six, of course, we all remember. But can this Jaguars offense led by big Blake Bortles, do you think there's any chance that they can do a little bit of damage here against the Patriots?
I think they can. And the question when the Jacksonville Jaguars have the football, the main one is, can the Patriots stop the run, or can Jacksonville establish the run game? Because so much of what the Jaguars like to do offensively starts with getting the run game going, staying ahead of the sticks, staying on schedule, staying away from those third and long situations where you have to put the ball in Blake Bortles' hands and he has to make throws from the pocket to extend drives and make first downs. So it comes down to whether the Patriots can stop the run. And, you know, looking at that aspect of this game, there are sort of three questions I've identified: whether the Patriots can stop the run, or whether Jacksonville can establish the run. And how those questions get answered will tell us the story of that part of this game. First, will Blake Bortles be confident enough to call audibles and get out of plays? There are a ton of times this year where teams trying to stop the run would stack the box, and Bortles would just stay with the run play that was called, and they would just be unable to block everybody, and the play would go for a loss or at best a minimal gain. He needs to have the confidence and the freedom to get out of those plays and either check to a pass or check to a different run, maybe to the edges or something, so they can sort of get out of that numbers disadvantage. The other thing they can do, the second question I have, is will he be an active participant in the run game? Jacksonville likes to dial up designed runs for the quarterback, whether it's read option plays where they're reading the defender and he can keep or give it, or just straight quarterback power plays where he has a lead blocker in front of him. That's one way Jacksonville can sort of flip that script. If New England stacks the box, they change the numbers by using the quarterback as a runner, and he basically helps block the play up. And the third thing is, there were times when Jacksonville lost one-on-one matches. A guy to watch, if you're watching the trench play, is right guard A.J. Cann. He's, I don't want to say the weak link along this Jacksonville O-line, which has been actually pretty solid this year, but there were plays throughout the season where he got beat up at the line of scrimmage, lost some one-on-one matchups, and that led to some runs getting stopped behind the line of scrimmage. So those are sort of the three questions I look at when Jacksonville has the football. Will Bortles make those checks at the line? Will they use them in the run game? And can New England win those one-on-one matchups? Those are the things to watch when Jacksonville has the ball.
We're talking to Mark Schofield from Locked On Patriots podcast, NFL 1000 Bleacher Report here on Sportsnet 650 with Sat and John. Now, I want to ask about Bill Belichick a little bit, because we've heard some Jaguars players pop off. Now, whether it's Jalen Ramsey saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, Malik Jackson saying they deserve more credit than they're getting, they're just being really vocal about how much love the Jaguars should be getting, how they're going to beat the Patriots. How do you think Bill Belichick's going to use that as motivation, considering he uses everything he can as motivation for his team?
Well, the first thing Belichick does every week is, it doesn't matter if it's the AFC Championship game against the AFC self-champion Jacksonville Jaguars, or a Week 13 game against a 2-10 Jets team. Every opponent the Patriots face is the 85 Bears messed with, maybe like, you know, the 88 49ers messed with the Packers from the Vince Lombardi days. I mean, they're going up against the best team, the greatest team in football every single week. That's just step one in Belichick's sort of motivational game plan. But I'm sure as much as the Patriots players themselves, as well as Belichick, are, you know, pumping up the Jaguars on the outside. You know, Telvin Smith had a tweet earlier this week where, you know, he sort of intimated, yeah, it's great what they're saying about us to the media, but we know what's going on behind closed doors. And what's behind closed doors is, if I had to guess, and again, this is just a guess, is probably this. Look, you guys have been here seven straight times. This is now your seventh straight AFC Championship game. You have a chance, if you go out and do your job, to get back to a Super Bowl for the second straight year. And these guys are coming in here, and they're already making plans for what they're going to do in Minnesota. They're already thinking about the victory parade down in Duval. They're already thinking that they're going to come into your house and beat you and deny you a chance to get back to a Super Bowl. That's how good they think they are. Show them on Sunday how good they really are and how good you really are. That's going to be Belichick's sort of final message to this team, I bet, when they go through the walkthrough and then again in the locker room on Sunday. These guys are coming in thinking that they've already got plane tickets booked for Minnesota, and they've already got a parade route on display down in Jacksonville. And let's not forget, when I talk about parade routes, back before they played the Eagles in the Super Bowl, Bill Belichick in the Saturday night meeting, got a hold of Philadelphia's parade route and read it to the team. He has no problem doing things like that to motivate his team, and I'm sure he'll have something like that up his sleeve for Saturday night.
No question. That's something that I was thinking about as well. As soon as I saw that Eagles parade blurb right. on social media the other day, and I saw the Jaguars popping off, I'm going, uh-oh. I know Bill Belichick's going to use this to his advantage. Now, before we ask you about the Eagles and Vikings, do you have a prediction for what's going to happen on Sunday at Foxborough?
I do. And, you know, when the numbers came out, when it looked at, you know, 9.5 point favorite, I still think that's a little bit high. I mean, I do think that Jacksonville is going to be able to slow down this Patriots offense a bit. I think they will be able to move the football at times. Like you said, look, this is a bend but don't break type defense. I think Jacksonville will be able to do some things in the run game. They'll be able to scheme, you know, a play action short play or two to get, you know, a big play in the passing game for Bortles. So I think it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be a blowout like some might expect. I look at this as a 28-20 type game. I think New England wins it. I think maybe Jacksonville attacks on a score late to make it a one-score game when all is said and done. But I think the Patriots, you know, this game, as much as everybody's talking about, this might be the worst sort of matchup for New England. The fact is, like we talked about at the outset, they have game plan stuff they can do to attack this defense. They're so skilled and adept at identifying matchups, doing what they do in the pre-snap phase to get the matchups they like. They'll be able to have success, you know, attacking this pass defense. They'll do some stuff in the run game as well. Jacksonville, they looked stout as a run defense against Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh was trying a lot of east-west type running plays to the edges. New England will try to get north-south. They'll run Deion Lewis between the tackles. This is still a run defense. It was a bottom-of-the-league type run defense for most of the season. So New England will do some stuff in the run game. They'll have success using those matchups in the pass game, and they'll come out on top and get to Minnesota for the Super Bowl.
You're not just a Patriots expert. You're also a quarterback guru in itself. I mean, Case Keenum had himself I don't know if it's a legendary play, but it basically is a legendary play for Minnesota. But do we forget everything that happened in Minnesota last weekend if the Vikings don't manage to make it to the Super Bowl?
I don't think you forget something like that. I mean, that was one of those plays where I looked it up in the wake of that game, and, you know, that stadium holds, I think, 66,000 people. 2 years from now, there will be about 150,000 people claiming to have been at that game. And, you know, 10 years from now, it'll be probably 500,000 people. That's how memorable that kind of moment was. And it was just, you know, when we get a chance to talk about sports for a living, and we always sort of get caught up in the day-to-day, the, like, drama that unfolds. But every once in a while, you have a moment where you just sort of step back and realize just how magical that was. And that video that was shot on the sideline, taken from that angle of that play unfolding from the throw to the catch to the noise that stadium made, not just when Diggs made the reception, but when it went up just another 10 decibels when they realized he was going to score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps, guys, just sitting there talking about it. And I don't like the Minnesota Vikings at all. I don't care about them, but here we are. It's just that sort of magical moment. So we won't forget about it.
Yeah,
but it will sort of leave a bitter taste in Minnesota's mouth if they can't now follow that up with a win on the road. And let's not forget, part of the reason that the New Orleans Saints were even in a position to lose that game in the way they did was because Marcus Williams had an interception of Case Keenum that was a bad decision and a bad throw. And this is something that myself and others have said about Keenum, is he will make a mistake or two a game, and whether teams can fully capitalize on them will often tell the story of whether Minnesota wins or not. New Orleans used that Williams interception off a Keenum mistake to get back into that game. Now you're facing an Eagles defense, which is a better defense on the road with, you know, 70,000 people wearing dog masks. It's going to be a crazy environment there. The Eagles might be able to sort of take one of those Keenum mistakes and come out on top in this game.
You're absolutely right. I think Keenum led the league in sort of mistakes that went sort of untorched and unscorched throughout the regular season. But at the same time, Nick Foles is the guy under center for the Eagles, and I thought they really simplified their offensive playbook, you know, utilizing a lot of the RPO and making sure that he had as many safe options to go as possible. So I think it really just comes down to Keenum against the Eagles defense, Foles against the Vikings defense. What gives first?
Yeah, and, you know, when as much as I, you know, sort of set up there, you know, that Keenum might make some mistakes, the matchup I'm watching is Doug Peterson and what he does schematically against Mike Zimmer and that defense. Mm-hmm. This Minnesota defense is, again, we have three elite defenses here in the championship round, you know, with Jacksonville in the AFC, and now both of these teams in the NFC. And while Peterson sort of had some answers for what Atlanta was doing, it's going to be a whole new ballgame against this Minnesota defense. And while they were able to scheme some stuff and take advantage of some breakdowns, you know, at the second level, at the third level by Atlanta, not going to be the same. And sort of the guy to watch on some of those RPO Texans is Harrison Smith, the safety for the Vikings, who is probably the best safety in football right now. And they will bring him down into the box because they're not going to be that worried early about Foles beating you deep. And he'll be able to sort of disrupt some of those plays. They might try to scheme somebody open off of an RPO, but Smith will be in position to close that down. Look for Smith to have a turnover of his own early in this game. And I think, you know, his ability combined with the rest of that Minnesota defense to take away what Peterson's going to want to do offensively is what's going to put Minnesota over the top in this game.
Sportsnet 650.